Well, good morning. It is great to get to open God's Word with you today. And I am excited because this is the last in our Foundational Truth series. Not to be done with it, but because it's all been on purpose and is directed at the thought of how we engage in the body of Christ. I am thankful today for transformation. How many of you are glad that when you got saved, Jesus didn't leave you as you were? And that God has a purpose for His church, which is sort of transformational. How many of you know that transformation is kind of captivating? There's a reason why when you are walking down a boardwalk and you see a street artist begin to do a portrait, we kind of stop and watch. Or if you've ever been at like a market or a fair and you see somebody hammering metal, there's usually a crowd. Or if you've ever stood outside the window when somebody's blowing glass, suddenly the crowd collects because it is powerful to see someone take something that's just in a raw lump and transform it into something else. It is very telling to me that when God talks about us in Scripture, we are referred to clay, while God is referred to as the potter, who takes us from this lifeless lump and then makes something beautiful out of it and begins to create and craft. And that whole process, friends, is biblical, and it's telling because God created us for His glory, and He is glorified when we are transformed. So this is all significant. And it's also on purpose. There's a reason why I'm ending this series at this point today. And for those of you watching at home, it's because I've had this sort of underlying motivation and goal. Everything we talked about, going all the way back to defining the Word of God as truth and talking about who God is, and then discussing who we are, and then discussing what salvation is, and now even describing the church. The problem I see today is I see so many Christians, when they talk about the church, it's something you attend on a Sunday, but that's like barely dipping your toe in the water. And you hold yourselves back. And you don't, with reckless abandon, plunge into this thing called the body of Christ. Why? Because you're not sure who God is and how powerful He is. And you're a little uncertain as to who you are. You're not quite sure all that salvation covered, let alone what makes you part of this new thing called the body of Christ. And until you've established that truth, it's no wonder that many of us are sort of coming up short to the experience that God seems to promise in His Word. All of that foundational truth is meant to set you free to participate in all that God wants you to do and become and be part of in the body of Christ. So there's a method to all this madness. And today, I am thankful for transformation because the church is transformational. It is us being transformed into the image of Christ. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And I have just a few points that I want to make. How is the church transformational? And why am I thankful for it? Well, I am thankful for gospel transformation. How many of you are thankful for the gospel? The good news that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Why am I thankful for that? Because the church, friends, is the only entity on the planet fueled and powered by the gospel. Maybe another way of saying this is that every organization outside of the church that is on this planet is inhabited by dead people. Talk about a zombie apocalypse. Spiritually lifeless, without any power to do anything about it. The church is the one place fueled by the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek also. Friends, the gospel is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of the life of Jesus Christ transferred to you and I through the power and the person of the Holy Spirit and unleashed in newness of life. What you're looking at is a bunch of people with the right battery. Amen? In one place. And the gospel is not only the power of salvation, friends, there is a purpose to this power. Many people think one-dimensionally about the gospel. You think it's about getting you saved. Partially. It's about remaking you and remaking all of us corporately together into the image of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul gives us the reason why Christ gave up his life for the church. And he says in verse 27, that he might present himself to the church, or present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. I'm going to say a few punchy things today, but I've had too much pie, so I'm good. We have no concept of the magnitude of what is going on in this room as I speak. Consider this. Not everybody in this room is being sanctified at the same pace. Amen? Some of you are going through a hard, difficult, doubting, struggling time. Others of you are ignited right now and feel like you're gaining great ground. We're a hodgepodge. Some of you have had deep entrenched sins in your life and God is starting to crack them loose. Others of you have stepped away from something and feel this new sense of freedom. But guess what? At every place and at every level, you are all saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully justified and on your way to becoming just like Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. At every level, God audaciously says, I'm going to work all these things together for good. I'm going to interweave you all. And I'm not going to just do it in this church. I'm going to do it in a billion people all around the world at the same time, bringing you all into the image of Jesus Christ. Who else has got that game plan? Who could do that? It's the greatest show on earth. This past week, my son Jake and I, he was the kid with the tambourine, that was fun. We were sitting watching a show called Extreme Pools. It's one of these shows where you have an average pool in a backyard, this team comes in and they like just totally blow this thing up, and they create, well, the pool that we were happy to watch was what they called was their legacy pool. It was the largest backyard project they had ever taken on. They took over the entire yard. They created a pool that was over 100 feet long. They put in a commercial grade 120-foot water slide, a massive 3-cave grotto with a fire pit in it. On top of the grotto cave was in stone a new spa bubbling up out there. And that was one side. The other side was all these Venetian columns and everything. And everywhere you looked, things were being transformed and upgraded and everything. Right in the middle of it, I look over at Jake, and Jake looks at me and goes, Dad, I'm so into this. It was a great line. I am so into this. And I felt it. I was just like, I cannot wait. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. This is what I want to watch. I'm loving transformation. What ignites your passion when you walk in this room? See, most of us can't see beyond the end of our nose. And you fail to understand that in the lives you see around you, look at what the Holy Spirit's doing. Look at what He's doing. Look at what He's transforming. Look at what He's raising to life. Look what He's making new. And everywhere you look, you want to know the joy of a pastor? Everywhere, God is doing what only God can do. And as Christians, the church becomes powerful when we collectively say, I'm so into this. this is what I want to see. This is what I want to be part of. That's all wrapped up in the power of the gospel. By the way, we always have this truth that we are not the power of the gospel. That the greatest show on earth isn't to the glory of you and I. But at the heart of the church is one truth, and it is this truth: Jesus Christ died for sinners. You go to the end of the book, in the book of Revelation, and you will see one focal point for eternity. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain. And we will celebrate Him forever. And that is the power of the gospel. Friends, that's why we will host communion at the end of this service, because we never get over the power that unleashed the church. Amen? And that is to the praise and the glory of God. Luke 22:19, Jesus says, "This is my body, which was given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Friends, I am thankful for gospel transformation. How about you? You thankful for that? Unbelievable. So how do you participate in it? See, that's the point. The church isn't just celebrating the good thing that God did. We are fully invested in what He's unleashed. And so you have to move from being thankful for gospel transformation to thankful for the tool that God has given to unleash all of it. What is that? Word transformation. The Word of God. The Bible is what I am thankful for, and I want you to be thankful for today. Why? Because it is the sole instructional guide of the church. It is the Word of God, and the Bible has been the center of the church from the minute it came into existence. In fact, if you're in a church that doesn't seem to have a lot of Bible in it, you're not in a church. If you're in a place where they've got something better to say than what the Word of God has to say, they're delusional. The Word of God. If you go all the way back to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, those who were being brought to faith after Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? The Word of God. It's the New Testament that you and I now partake of. This was what the church does. We get together and we hear what the Word of God says. And you ask the question, well, why do we do that? I'll just give you a couple bullet points for fun. Because this is the only Word that is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And frankly, how many of you know that you're a little resistant to spiritual growth? Raise your hand if you find that gear inside you. Well, you have a flesh. What can navigate that? What can penetrate that? What can put down that inward selfish bent and release you to life? Only the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12. Also, because this is the only source of truth that can cleanse. There's not some source of truth out there that can remove the guilt of sin, that can remind you of your relationship with God, that tells you where life and peace and joy come from. That is only the Word of God. John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Because this is where a believer spiritually eats. A lot of the problem of the church is the anemic diet so many people are feasting on. All the rice cake theology, self-made theology, all the little poof. It's like you're all eating Cheetos and expect to feel good. None of us do until it's a diet of the Word of God. In fact, Jesus testified to this, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We, the church, are in the process of being transformed by the Word of God. We gather under it. And even the Bible calls it and says, this is a mark of who we are. All our Awana kids, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself an approved worker, you know, who's rightly dividing the Word of truth. That's what it means to be part of the Word. The church is to be part of the Word of God. Now, we are not only instructed, encouraged by the Word. Here's the big difference. We're accountable to the Word. I hope you've never had the privilege of being part of what I will call an articulational church. They love to proclaim the truth. They wow you with the intensity of their ability to define right doctrine, but have failed to become an applicational church. Friends, I don't care how much scripture you can quote. My question is, do you know how to obey it? See, we are transformed only when our knee is bowed. And sadly, because we are a living testimony of the power of God, imagine how confusing it is for an unbeliever to walk into church. Here, the pastor proclaimed grace by faith alone, a non-work, sacrificial, yielded life unto the glory of God, and look around and go, you've got to be kidding. I was a college young adults pastor, and I had a young man who came to my office often, and he was a theology major in college. And this kid's vocabulary was intimidating. I mean, imagine sitting down, Pastor John, I want to talk to you about the sublapsarian transubstantiation argument of the intertestamental period. This will be fun. And I remember he would come to my, and I remember one day I stopped him, I said, you know, you've not shown up on time for one of our meetings. I said, when your life begins to match your theology, maybe we'll talk. You say, that's harsh. How many of us need that message? How many of us need to understand, and I wrote it this way, church, your theology is powerless without obedience. Theology isn't wrong or true. The truth is vitally important. But imagine that we proclaim it, but our lives are not marked by obedience, by transformation, by yieldedness, by bowing our knee. Friends, if you come to a church and they only proclaim the truth, they don't obey it, run. You've just become friends with a bunch of Pharisees. God has given us the Word that we would bow our knee and we would change. We are part of a transformation process that is fueled by the gospel and instructed and given to us through His Word. How many of you are thankful for an instruction guide? It's great. It's like, you're saved! Go do it! Everything you need for life and godliness, right here. God has not been silent. He has given you His Word. He wants you to follow it and me to follow it as well. We are part of a Word transformation. Now, I'm going to get worse and worse on grammar as I go through these bullet points, but I was just trying to find a way to say it. So we're also part of not just a Word transformation, a serve transformation. What do I mean by that? How does this transformational process work in the church? Well, fueled by the gospel, the power of God, changed and instructed by the Word of God. And what will happen as you and I yield our lives and get under the Word of God? Well, then you will go from an inward life to an outward life. And this is vitally important because this is where I think the American church, and I know that's a big wide statement, but even in little ways, this is where we're missing it. It's like, come to Jesus and get what you want. No, come to Jesus and be transformed that He might be glorified and you might be shocked that He's using you to do it. This is different. The Bible says that transformation takes place in the context, hear me well, of service. Not listening. That'll happen. You got to know the Word of God. We come together to be instructed, but there's got to be a reaction to it, and the reaction is serving. The Bible's clear that as believers and the church, we serve one another. We belong to one another, and our joy is to work well and work for those around us as it pleases God. Do you know in the New Testament there's like 106 one another's? All focused on you have Jesus, now love one another, now serve one another, now give to one another, now build up one another. We talked about this last week, 1 Peter 4:10. We do this with our spiritual gifts. It says this, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Look, in simple terms, a spiritual gift is not a talent. You are all unique in your personality. Some of you are very gifted athletically. Some of you are very gifted musically. You have different personalities. Some of you are just cut-ups. We see you coming and we start smiling. You got an amazing... Some of you are just like, is it living? I don't know. Just very subdued, inward type folk. How many of you know that you're one of... Never mind. We're going to keep going. A spiritual gift is not your personality. A spiritual gift is not your talent that you were born and designed with. It is a Holy Spirit wrought ability that God has given directly to you. And it is vital to the function of the body of Christ. God saved you to be part of His body. There are people in this room, they have the exact same gift, and it is carried out at different degrees and in totally different ways. It is unique, and God's use of it is unique in your life, and what God says is employ it. You're listening to the Word of God. What is the reaction of your life? You serve. There's some truth behind this. This is what I know. In your salvation, friends, you will never discover what God intended for you until you are serving in the body. Ever. You were designed to make sense in the giving of your life in the context of the body of Christ. It's no wonder you may be discouraged today. You've been coming, you've been attending, friend, you were designed to serve. And in serving, God is going to continue to do His transformational work. God is going to take your gift and He's going to unleash your gift. He's going to use your gift and He's going to unleash your gift. And what's going to happen is all of a sudden you're going to be standing with a view of the church that is completely different than, oh, I hope I dressed appropriately today. Well, worship was okay. Those youth, love them. You guys were great today, by the way. You know what? You come in and you are shocked because in the week you were out doing your thing and God was using your spiritual gift and suddenly you're seeing somebody else in the body taking off or being invited in. And all of a sudden you look back and going, God, you did that in me. I belong here. Your Spirit has made me part of this place and part of what's going on. And you know, some days we have good days and some day we have bad days. But every day is a day of transformation in the body of Christ. This is where you enter in to the joy of transformation. It's in serving. And we do it because that's what Christ did. How did Christ transform? How did He save us, by the way? He did not come to be served, but to serve and give His life as a ransom for many. In John 13:16, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, Neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Friend, I guess my point is simply this. Service unleashes transformation. Period. And it doesn't always make sense, but God is all about confounding the world, isn't he? This past Halloween, my daughter Kelsey and her fiancé Solomon, I'm getting used to saying that, they went way old school and they dressed up like Karate Kid characters. How many of you are familiar with the movie The Karate Kid? Okay, anyway, it brought this to mind. I'm going to just tell you, back in the 1980s, there was no other spiritual illustration of transformational power than The Karate Kid. Every pastor used this sermon at least once. And if you weren't, we weren't sure you were saved. I mean, because when the movie came out, it was like everybody who saw this moment was like, oh my goodness, what is that? That's spiritual transformation right there. And I'm going to simply do an image and you're going to tell me what I'm doing. Oh, see, you're all saved. That's great. It's so simple and ridiculous. This kid, I want to be great. I want to have life. I want to be better. I wanted to sand the floor. Wax the car. Do it this way. Wax on, wax off. And having no idea that in the process of service, you were being radically transformed. Far greater than any movie, you were being radically transformed into the image of Christ. And you were being empowered to do the work of ministry, not only accomplishing other things in other people's lives, you were unleashing the power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, friends, if you're not experiencing transformation, there's some barometers you can immediately check. Where's the service? Where's the others? Because if it's not there, I can't give you something to fix the problem. God has a way that He's designed to use you if you're a follower of Him. And that's part of it. We're in a serve transformation. And then finally, we're in a share transformation. I'm on the last point of my sermon. Are you all? You should be thankful. Thanksgiving, right here. Dave read this to us today. It's Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Many of you are familiar with that passage of Scripture, the Great Commission passage. Go into all the world and make disciples. But here's the thing, the crazy thing. God has not saved us that we might be the holy huddle. We are not the us for no more group. And honestly, sometimes that grows because people treat the church as their safe place instead of their growing place. Friends, the church is always safe because Christ is its sovereign Lord. Amen? And you are always firmly in His grip. But He saved you to be part of His bride. And He wants His bride to grow and to become all that He intended her to be. And the glorious thing is, aren't you glad He invited you? Aren't you glad that somebody shared the gospel with you? That the church, that you were exposed and that you were saved? Friends, God has called us not only to serve one another, but to share the glorious truth of the power of transformation. We were saved to express the power of God. And the reason the gospel is becoming anemic is because we're so short-sighted on the transformational power of God. We whittle it down into one simple process. You hear me share and you think, I need to present the gospel to somebody today or I'm not a good Christian. No. You need to be intentional about sharing your life and the power of God's transformation with anyone that God brings in your path. And it is a radically different motivation. Yes, God wants sinners to be saved and forgiven. But for the church, we should be geeked out because we should be going, no, you have no idea. God wants to transform you. And not just today, but to make the power of your life transformation every day. And how's he going to do that? He's going to sew you together with a bunch of weird people that you'd never fit with. And he's going to show you how he saved them and all their uniqueness and how they, who you did not have relationship with, are now attached to, and God brings them in and out of my life and uses them to encourage me and sometimes for me to encourage them. And somehow we're looking more and more like Jesus every day, so that the last thing I'm worried about anymore is, do I fit in? Do I have value? No, I'm just part of this transformational thing. Suddenly I walk around with a security that the world cannot give, and a hope the world cannot touch, and an appetite for the very thing the world cannot produce. Real, substantive change that's not just for today, but for eternity. Does anybody get excited about that? Church, that's what we're part of. We do all of this confidently. Why? What does the verse say? All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Friends, what do we know as a church? Everywhere I put my foot down today, it belongs to Jesus. If I'm standing in my neighbor's driveway, that driveway is Jesus. That's his driveway. If I'm my boss's office, this is Jesus' office. If I'm talking to my wife in the kitchen, God's sovereign over that kitchen. All the men said amen. You need that. You know? If I am anywhere at any moment, I stand there in the utter, unbreakable authority of the living God, who obviously had a plan and a purpose for me to be there. So I don't start wondering, can I say that here? Is it appropriate to... Is it... Yes, always 100% appropriate to be mindful of Christ. We go forth in His authority. We share confidently. But here's the thing, and I think we miss this sometimes, or we stand on the wrong sides of it. We go relationally. Oh, if I could tattoo that under your eyelids, I would. We go relationally. What is the world craving? Safe belonging. What can Christians give because they have it from Christ? Safe belonging. Not just for this moment, but it is an invitation into life. When Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples, the word go there in the Greek literally means as you are going. Make disciples. What are disciples? People who are continually growing in their response to the authority of Jesus Christ and the submission of His life. So, what am I doing? As I am living my life, friends, discipleship is not a class. Discipleship is not a box you check. It is what you are, and it is what you're becoming at all times. So the only way you can go is to say, would you join me as I experience Jesus? I want you to join me. I want you to come with me. I want you to see Him. We'll start where we're going. I'm growing, you're growing. Let's grow together. And I enter that at whatever level with the people in my life, whether they're an unbeliever. I say, let's start today. I'm inviting you into my world. You're my neighbor. You're now going to be my friend. I'm inviting you. We're going to get to know one another. And the whole purpose of this is, as I am going, I am showing you who Jesus is to me and what I'm learning. Obviously, the fact that I'm going to have a son-in-law is now on my brain, because he keeps showing up in my sermons. I've had a chance to talk to Solomon a few times. If you're watching this, love you, man. But as we began to discuss his relationship with Kelsey, I've said this to him probably, I don't know how many different ways, just coming up in conversation, and I've told him, you know, the most exciting, empowering thing in marriage is to grow. It's not to arrive. And the best and greatest thing a man can do as a spiritual leader is to invite his bride into the growth process with him. Death in marriage is to try to be sufficient as a man. I've got this. I know the answer. Because you don't. And then you just shut up and don't say anything. I'm not talking to anybody, am I? But the guy who is open to growing and discovering is the guy who opens up all that God had in mind for his wife, who he gave her to him to be his helpmate and to be a partner. I tell you what, men, a woman doesn't want anything more than the opportunity to grow with you and see you change and become, and her to be transformed. We think that they're just wanting us to become, but no, she wants to grow too. Believe me, she has 10,000 more thoughts a day than you do. And she wants to be given permission to have questions and have thoughts and have wonderings and have you not be intimidated by them, like you're supposed to be sufficient for them. No man is sufficient for that. Amen. But the guy who says, wow, I didn't know that. Hey, you know what? I was thinking, I didn't know. Oh, maybe we could learn about that. We should. I fight this in my flesh. But friends, when we grow, it's like an invitation into the depth of relationship. What is discipleship? It's you in a real, tangible, relational way, valuing someone enough, not to preach at them, but to say, come grow with me. Come be transformed by Jesus Christ with me. You're an unbeliever. Come over and have food at my house. Stand in my driveway. Comment about my car. Let's talk about my dog. But let's learn and let's discover. And you will be shocked at how this opens the door. And because, friends, that happens on the outside of salvation. But what do you think happens on the other side of salvation? What is the invitation that I should have to everyone in this room? Come grow with me. I'm discovering. I'm learning. Whoa, big roadblock in my life. Would you pray for me? Oh, I had no idea I was such an idiot.
We did.
Okay. The gospel is relational. And if you are not relational with the gospel, you don't understand it. And God wants to release you to something better. We share strategically. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friends, what should be part of the church's sharing is we should always be inviting people into a deeper understanding of God. The power of the Holy Spirit, the wonder of the security of the Father, the majesty of the salvific purposes of Jesus Christ. We have an unending topic, and we're always learning more of Him. Then it says this, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. Friends, understand this, we share strategically. We share strategically. I love how it says all the nations. When I was thinking about that, how do I break that down? Of course, that means we have a global outreach presence to people who have not heard the gospel. We have a new missionary, Trilocean. He sends out an update. And I was reading it this week, and they are like doing ministry to leper colonies. And these are all people who have been forced out of their homes with leprosy, and they have no place to be. And they've started these leper colonies, and they're feeding them and clothing them. And people are coming to faith in Christ. It was just like, that's, yes, that is part of it. But really, when it says go into all the nations, it means that we as believers make no distinctions about who we share gospel transformation with. It doesn't matter to us. It means that everybody you encounter is a God-appointed opportunity. Everywhere. And it doesn't matter who they are, what color they are, how they dress, how they speak, what they're driving in, how well they use profanity. In fact, can I just tell you something, church? Somebody who is artistic with profanity, that is your God-given opportunity. You need to know that person. It should be like a beeline. You hear somebody drop some bomb, and we are so quick to go, oh my goodness. Christians should be like, dude, I heard you across three aisles. My name's John. How's it going? They'd be shocked. To that, we are like, man, hi, who are you? It's awesome. Friends, we make no distinctions. The other thing is that we go intentionally. We go after them. My mission field, since I moved to Elgin, is obviously here. You know, this is God's, I want to use my gifts. But my, like, go into all the world is Hoxie Avenue. It's the street I live on. Hoxie Avenue is awesome. It is a hodgepodge of humanity. It is so cool. It's got married people. It's got single people. It's got Hispanic, Puerto Rican people. It's got old school Elgin people down on the end of the street. Like, been here for like 60 years, know everything about it. It's got all these people. It's got loud people. It's got people I'm not even sure they exist yet. Somebody takes the mail. That's all I know. It's got Democrats. Got Republicans. It's got highly opinionated, loud people. And I love them. And we're starting to get to know them. And not because, oh, we're the blessing on the block. We're the no. Because, like, this is our opportunity. And I'm starting to, the other night, it was so awesome. This stew showed up from Puerto Rico. This pork thing concoction, and there it was, and I had never had it, and it smelled amazing. I'm just like, that's awesome. And then Kim was sending something back out to their house, and now we've got this food exchange. You need to get on that action. It's good. You know, we've got that. I'm in the backyard, and I can see into my neighbor, and we compare fires. Yeah, it was a lot of smoke. Like, oh yeah, but you remember what I did? Yeah, you know, we're just mixing it up, and we're inviting them over, and we sit out in the front on Halloween. You know, we just, these are the people, and I want them to know Christ. And so my whole plan is to invite them into the transformation process God is doing in my life. And believe. I'd love to paint it really spiritual and amazing. Oh yeah, it is spiritual and it is amazing and it's gracious. We share strategically, we share specifically. This is the last one. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Friends, when we share the gospel with lost people, it is not wrong to just share that God can save you from your sins. That is part of the truth. But I got to tell you, we need to be straight up with people. That no one have any buyer's remorse. That we need to share Christ as the life-changing. He wants every last fiber of your being. And He has promised to transform you completely. Gospel. People need to know. You know, well, what do I have to do to be saved? Oh, you're going to have to give your life to Christ. Well, what does that mean? Everything. I don't want to do that. Neither do I. Most days, you know. But let me tell you why. God wants to remake you. He wants to do something awesome in your life. We share the truth about what the gospel is. We share it in fullness. And then we share the call to total transformation. We share the call to saying, no, God wants to take you and remake you, and He wants to be the Lord of your life. And I've had this conversation even with some of my neighbors already. No, He wants your marriage. What? He wants your job. What? You know, and He wants all of it. And look what He can do with it. He can do what you can't. It's so cool. And then we invite them into the change process. Friends, there's nothing more powerful than starting with someone and walking with them for 5 years. I'd love to tell you the gospel that God wants you to share is just speak the truth and back away. You know, Jesus loves you, died on the cross for your sins. You should think about that. No, it's 500 times, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Thanksgiving, Jesus loves you. Saturdays, Jesus loves you. Oh, hey, you want to talk about God? Hey, let's have a conversation. Jesus loves you. Man, you saved. We wept together. We cried. You came to faith. But my wife doesn't want him. I know. This is going to be crazy. Let's walk. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You know, 4 years, she's coming to church. Oh, my goodness. How long have we prayed for this? This is so cool. I spoke to my kid last week. The one who hates you? Yeah, that one. Rock. And 7 years later, when that guy serves you communion, you might have tasted the power of the transformational gospel as much as the moment somebody came to faith. Amen? Friends, we share specifically. All of this we do because we know who our God is. We know where truth comes from. We know that we have been created in His image for this very purpose. We know what salvation is. We understand that the church is transformational. Now, my deep prayer, friends, is that you will do more than dip your toe into it. That the mantra of Elgin Evangelical Free Church would be, I'm so into this. I'm so into this transformation thing that only God can do. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to have you stand and we're going to close our service in a word of prayer. Father, we come before you today, blown away that you've made us part of your body, given us Jesus Christ as our Savior, transformed us by the power of the gospel, instructed us and set us free through the power of your word, called us into a life of belonging to one another and service, and then giving us the opportunity to share this life with people around us. I pray today we've been reminded, instructed, encouraged, and turned loose. May we leave today those who have been blessed by you beyond imagination. We love you, Jesus. We pray these things in Christ's name, and all God's people said, Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.